And our next case this morning is United States v. Watkins, case number 10-1067. Mr. Holmes.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Rodney Holmes. I represent the defendant appellant Max Watkins in this appeal. Mr. Watkins was found guilty after a jury trial on two counts of wire fraud. At issue in the appeal were the calculation of the intended loss and also the reasonableness of the court's refusal to depart below the sentencing guidelines. Now, before I get into the issue of the intended loss, I would like to concede one point, and this point it's major as to the effect on the guidelines. In our argument, we pose the position that the checks that were run through the telecheck system but were not approved should not be counted. And we also indicated that two individuals had issued checks for cars that were double counted. Now, during the course of the scheme for the conspiracy, there were multiple individuals that would write a check for one particular car, and that amount was of that car was greater than what they were approved for. They would come back and write a check for a second car that they picked out for a lesser value, and that would be approved. Now, the government did a good job in distinguishing those, and they didn't appear on the spreadsheet. There were two individuals, Renee Gully and I believe Ms. Coleman, whose names appeared twice. They did purchase two separate vehicles, so it's not double counting, and the effect of that is even if this court agrees with Mr. Watkinson on the use of the unapproved checks, and those were removed from the calculation, he would still be over $1 million and his guidelines would not change. So with that, I would like to jump to the sentencing issue. Mr. Watkins received a 70-month sentence. His guideline range on the high end was 71 months. The government filed a motion for an upward departure from the sentencing guidelines based on Mr. Watkins' criminal history. He has multiple priors for similar check schemes. Mr. Watkins filed a motion for a downward departure based on a number of factors. One was his age. Mr. Watkins is 66 years old. He had some health issues. The district court acknowledged the age and the health issues. There was also the situation with his wife and family. Mr. Watkins has adopted two minor children, ages, I believe, now 14 and 12. And his wife, Mrs. Watkins, suffers from Bell's palsy, dyslexia, and I believe scoliosis. Now, Mr. Watkins' family also receives Social Security benefits. Now, at the sentencing hearing, the defense indicated to the court that the Social Security benefits would be limited when Mr. Watkins was in custody, and because of his wife's physical condition, the family would not be able to support itself. The prosecutor, Mr. Harris, indicated what everyone believed to be correct at the time, that the Social Security for Mr. Watkins would cease. However, the Social Security for the children would continue. Ms. Watkins, because of her Bell's palsy, is now unable to work. She's unemployed. And also the Social Security for the children, their family, has been suspended and will not resume until Ms. Watkins pays over $6,000 to Social Security. In light of these factors, we believe that they weren't given adequate consideration by the district court. The impact, the substantial impact on Mr. Watkins' family.
These are post-sentencing developments?
We mentioned them at the time, but they came to fruition after the sentencing. We mentioned that that would be a problem at the sentencing, that Ms. Watkins, because of her Bell's palsy and her dyslexia, would not be able to, to sufficiently provide for the
That's a general argument rather than the specific one you're making right now about the termination of the Social Security benefits?
Yes, and we did say that there would be problems with the Social Security, and after sentencing, they did come to fruition. So as we sit here today, Ms. Watkins is unemployed, and they are not receiving Social Security benefits.
The children aren't?
Correct, Your Honor.
Nobody is.
No one is at the present time. And we believe that these factors are to a degree that the district court, if they were to consider, may have an impact on reducing Mr. Watkins' sentencing. And in light of those factors, regarding the family, we believe that the sentencing decision by the district court is unreasonable. Now, we will concede that this court, the precedent of this court is that a sentence within the guidelines is presumed reasonable by the appellate court. This sentence was within the guideline range. So there is a presumption of reasonableness to that sentence, and the defense has to give extraordinary circumstances to get past that burden. But in this particular case, we feel that the effects of dire straits on the family rises to that level. And counsel and defense understands that every time a person is sentenced, in most cases, they leave a family or loved ones behind. But the health situation, the health condition of Mrs. Watkins, coupled with the age of the minor children, I believe that rises to a level that warrants consideration by the district court. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Hartzler.
Thank you. First, I want to commend Mr. Holmes for conceding the first issue. That hasn't happened very often, and I appreciate it. I hope that will save the court some time. There's, of course, a broader lesson in all of this is when the government puts together an appendix, you can really rely on it, both in this. My opposing counsel in previous case is not here, so I won't go any further. I think that the second issue is going to be decided on the case law, but I do remind you that this was a recidivist. He had two prior similar fraud convictions, so I think we're always sympathetic with family circumstances. That's unfortunate that the family suffers as a result of a crime, but that's often the consequences that the defendant doesn't take into consideration when he commits the crime.
And a loss amount of in excess of $1 million that was
now conceded.
The subject of the fraud.
Now conceded, right, and not his first time. If there are
right.
No further questions, thank you.
Apparently not. Thank you. Mr. Holmes, anything further?
Nothing further.
All right. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.